Good morning, church. I'm going to try to get through as much of this as possible. How you doing? Good. Praise God. I've been praying for you. As you see, we have communion out today. Today we're going to be speaking on the meaning and importance of the Lord's Supper. The meaning and importance of the Lord's Supper. First, let us bow our heads. Father God, we come today, God, to lift you up and to praise your holy name for all that you have been to us, for all that you have done for us, and for all that you're doing right now, Lord. We say thank you, Father. Thank you for your sacrifice. Thank you for the breaking of your body. Thank you, God, for the pouring out of your blood for the remission of sin. We thank you that we stand forgiven in Christ Jesus' name. Amen. It is more and more I see that the ordinance of the Lord's Supper is not giving its due in our churches. Not only just because we haven't done it for the year that I've been here. That's a big factor, though, in this sermon. But also because even the churches that do it, that follows the Lord's Supper, a lot of the people don't really understand why they're actually doing it, why we're partaking of the Lord's Supper. What does it really mean? What significance does it have for us as believers? And so today we're going to talk about the meaning, and we're going to talk about the importance of the Lord's Supper. There are several symbols and affirmations in the Lord's Supper that we need to look at today. If we look at 1 Corinthians 11, verse 23 through 30, in your Bibles, I have New King James. First Corinthians, the 11th chapter, beginning with verse 23 through verse 30. And what we'll see is how important it is. And we'll also see the meaning of the Lord's Supper. You ready, Rick? Praise God. It reads, "For I received from the Lord that which I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, 'Take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me.'" Verse 25, "In the same manner, he also took the cup after supper, saying, 'This cup is the new covenant in my blood. This do as often as ye drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread, and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death till he comes.'" Repeat after me. Say proclaim. "You proclaim the Lord's death till he comes." Verse 27, "Therefore, whoever eats this bread or drinks this cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty of the body and the blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of the bread and drink of the cup. For he who eats and drinks in an unworthy manner eats and drinks judgment to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. In the King James, it says, eats and drinks damnation to himself. For this reason, verse 30, many are weak and sick among you, and many sleep. The first thing that we need to look at then, if we're looking at the Lord's Supper, is when we look at the Lord's Supper, we need to see Christ's death. We need to see Christ's death. When we participate in the Lord's Supper, we symbolize the death of Christ, because our actions gives a picture of his death for us. Okay? When the bread is broken, it symbolizes the breaking of Christ's body. It symbolizes the breaking of Christ's body. I want to stop there for a second. I want to add in this. Okay, I don't care what nobody say to you, that be it Catholic or Lutheran, whoever it might be, that believe that when you partake of the Lord's Supper, that you believe that they believe that you are actually partaking of the actual body of the Lord. You're actually eating his body, and that you're actually drinking his blood. And that is not, now this is also in a spiritual way, but they're talking about that it divinely turns or transforms itself into the body and blood of Jesus Christ. And so that is the only way that you can partake in the body and blood of Christ, in the life of Christ. I come to tell you that's not true. Because Christ, if he wanted to come back down here physically, then help me with this now. Why would he send the Holy Spirit? Right now, Christ is sitting at the right hand of the Father. He's not coming back. When he comes back, he's coming back, and he's not going to, first time he comes back, he's not going to set foot on the ground. But the second time, he's coming back as a judge. So he won't set foot on earth again until he comes back to judge the earth. So you do not, the body does not, is not the literal body of Jesus Christ. The blood is not the literal blood of Jesus Christ. And in my study, I read in Exodus where it talks about, and in Leviticus, where it talks about that you should not drink the blood, because the life is in the blood. And so it is against the law to even think about that we're actually drinking blood. Okay? It's against the biblical law to drink blood. So why would we consider that it turns into the actual blood of Christ when it is against the law? And Christ did not come to condemn the law, but he came to fulfill the law. So it's in, the life is in the blood, and it is a symbolic thing that we do. Why? Because it symbolizes the breaking of the body. And we symbolize the outpouring of the blood of Christ. It says, for as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. What are we proclaiming? Well, in Isaiah 53 and 4 and 5, in Isaiah 53, 4 and 5, he says, surely he has borne our grief and carried our sorrows, yet we esteemed him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. He is broken, is he not? Verse 5 says, but he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. So in the breaking of the body, we are remembering proclaiming that Jesus gave up his life. His body was broken and bruised and beaten for our sake, for my sake. See, I want us to begin to take it personal, because when we begin to take it personal, then we can come into the communion service with much more reverence and with much more love for the sacrifice that was made for us when we take it personal. The next thing we need is to understand is our participation in the benefits of Christ's death. We participate in the benefits of Christ's death. When we take communion, we are participating in the benefits of Christ's death. Jesus commended his disciples. Hear this now. He commended his disciples. In Matthew 26, he said, "Take, eat, this is my body." Matthew 26:26. He says, "Take, eat, this is my body." Okay? So I want you to see that. As we individually reach out and take the cup for ourselves, each one of us is by the actions what? Proclaiming, "I am taking the benefits of Christ's death to myself." See? I am taking the benefits of Christ's death to myself. So that when we do this, we give a symbol of the fact that we participate in or share in the benefits earned for us by the death of Jesus Christ. You see? We're taking part in all of the things that Christ has done for us through his suffering and through the shedding of his blood. We're taking part in that. Ephesians 1:7 says, "In whom we have redemption through his blood." See, we have redemption. We're taking part in the redemptive act of Jesus Christ by the shedding of his blood. The forgiveness of sin. Because his blood was shed, because his body was bruised, we have the forgiveness of sin. We're taking part in the benefits of his death, according to the riches of his grace. Hebrews 9:22 says, "And almost all things are by the law purged with blood, and without shedding of blood is no remission of sin." You see that? And so by the pouring out of his blood, I'm saved. By the pouring out of his blood, I'm forgiven. By the pouring out of his blood, I'm healed. How am I healed? I'm healed from the stain of sin. We take part in the benefits of Christ's death. Number three, we take part in we receive spiritual nourishment. Uh-huh. Just as ordinary food nourishes our physical body, so the bread and the wine of the Lord's Supper gives nourishment to us. But they also picture the fact that there is spiritual nourishment. You see? There is refreshment that should come from taking of the Lord's Supper. The refreshment that Christ is giving is a refreshing of our soul. I don't know about you, but to know that my soul is at peace with God. To know that regardless of what might happen around me, that my soul is right with God. I can take the Lord's Supper with joy, knowing that my soul has been made right. Do you hear me? Do you hear that? Been made right with God. Hey, that's a blessing right there. Y'all with me? Am I by myself? All right. Thank you. Indeed, this ceremony institutes the ceremony that Jesus instituted is in its very nature designed to teach us what is said in John 6, 54 through 57. Now, when we read John 6, 54 through 57, you know, this is the passage where so many people, when they heard Jesus say this passage, they left following him because it was a hard passage for them to understand. Okay? Now let's read it for us, if you would turn to it. John, the sixth chapter, verse 53 through 57. Okay? John, the sixth chapter, verse 53 through 57. Okay. It says in verse 53, then Jesus said unto them, very verily I say unto you, except ye eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, ye have no life in you. Wow. What does that mean? I got to eat his blood. Drink his blood and eat his flesh. That's why people turned and walked away from him. This is a hard saying to understand. Verse 54 says, whoso eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood hath eternal life, and I will raise him up at the last day. Y'all still with me? Verse 55 says, for my flesh is meat indeed, and my blood is drink indeed. Verse 56, he that eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood dwelleth where? In me, and I in him. Okay, and verse 57, and the living Father hath sent me, and I live by the Father. So he that eateth me, even he shall live by me. Jesus is not speaking of a literal eating of his body or drinking of his blood. But he is, if he is not speaking of a literal eating or drinking, then he must have in mind the spiritual participation in the benefits of the redemption he earns. This spiritual nourishment is so necessary for our souls, is both symbolized and experienced in our participation in the Lord's Supper. When we partake of the Lord's Supper, then again, we are partaking of the death and burial and the sacrifice that he made for us. And then we can say Galatians 2 and 20, by heart, I have been crucified with Christ. I have been crucified with Christ. Then we can say that it's no longer I who live, but it's him who lives in me. Then we can say, now the life that I live by faith in the Son of God who gave himself for me. You see? Why? Because I've participated in taking of the body and the taking of the blood that was shed for my sin. The unity of believers. When Christians participate in the Lord's Supper together, they also give a clear sign of their unity with one another. Their unity with one another. Okay? This should be a staple, something in every Christian church that is done on a regular basis. Why? Because we're joining in union with every Christian church that is open, that is partaking of the Lord's Supper. Now, we say, well, we don't have to do it every Sunday. You're right. You don't have to. But it should be done. It should be done, I believe, the Bible says, as often as you do this. So as often as you do this, it could be a year, could be 2 years. But why would you want to wait to show your union with the body of Christ? And if someone else came in to visit, and they'll wonder why we're not participating in one of the two ordinances that Christ has commanded for the church. It's important. I'm about done. Got to get out of here. So when I participate in the Lord's Supper, I come into the presence of Christ. I remember that he died for me. Okay? When I participate in the Lord's Supper, I participate in the benefits of his death. What he has provided for me. When I participate in the Lord's Supper, I receive spiritual nourishment for my soul. Spiritual nourishment for my soul. And when I participate in the Lord's Supper, I'm united with all other believers who participate in this supper. Be it in this church, be it in that Christian church around the corner, or wherever, across town. When we partake of the Lord's Supper, it is the family of God that's coming together and saying that we are unified by these two things, by baptism and by partaking of the Lord's Supper. The most important part of taking the Lord's Supper is addressed in 1 Corinthians 11, 27, and 3 through 30. Okay? It says, therefore, whoever eats this bread or drinks this cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of the bread and drink of the cup. For he who eats and drinks in an unworthy manner eats and drinks judgment to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. For this reason, many are weak and sick among you, and many sleep. As we come to the Lord's Supper today, we should do so in an unjudged manner. We should not do so in an unjudged condition. We should not do so, slip of words, in an unjudged condition. That don't mean look at somebody else and judge them. Okay? That means we shouldn't come to the Lord not examining ourselves. We should not partake of the Lord's Supper not examining ourselves. Sin should be confessed and forsaken. Restitution should be made. Apologies should be offered to those we have wronged. We should make sure we are in proper state of soul, oneness with God. F.G. Patterson writes, and I'm done. If we eat the Lord's Supper with unjudged sin upon us, we do not discern the Lord's body that was broken to take away our sin. You want me to read that again? If we eat the Lord's Supper with unjudged sin upon us, we do not discern the Lord's body that was broken to take away our sin. The Bible says that you will be guilty of the body and of the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. In other words, you will be no different than those that hung him on the cross. I got some more stuff, but I gotta go. So I want us to think about this Lord's Supper. Come on, Rick.